Huh?
You have another test today?
Mm-hmm.
I'll call him up and tell him he can't make it.
Yeah, you should.
You're too engrossed in my lecture. All right, here we are. We're recording this thing now. Well, good luck on it, whatever it happens
Thank
to
you.
Be. Underwater basket. What is it?
Business ethics?
Business ethics?
Mm-hmm.
I taught that for a while. Then I realized I wasn't, no.
Mm-hmm.
See you later, Alan. So what we're talking about here is what happens after a person has been selected for the job. The number one place that you're going to lose employees, by the way, after you've hired them and spent all this money selecting, I should mention, is that they come into your organization without an appropriate orientation. Tons of research has been done on this. You've got to spend some time orienting employees to the workplace to make them feel included, to make them feel comfortable with the environment, and all that kind of good stuff. You know, have them have a mentor that shows them how the ropes are pulled at this particular organization, et cetera, et cetera. Orientation is the number one way to preserve an employee, especially new hires. So get the orientation program going. Of course, once they're oriented, we have to think about getting them up to performance levels. So we can test them to see if they need help in getting up to their necessary performance of whatever it might happen to be, sales or whatever. Are you sending around a sign-up sheet?
Mm-hmm.
Good move. After somebody's left early, that's
she
when you want to send it around.
And then she left.
She signed it and then left. I don't think I see it on there. I don't see her name on there. Anyway, we've got the orientation. We bring the person in. We check them to see how their job performance is, but we can assume that they're going to need some training. Training, of course, is an overarching topic. We're always going to be after our employees to keep up the snuff on their training so that they can perform to the level that we need them to be cost beneficial for us. So let's talk about this idea of training, which is so important. So we've gone through selection, and we've gone through orientation, and now we're going to the topic of training. Okay, training is the idea of implementing change, right? Training can be either training, sometimes known as development. The idea of change. What's the difference between training and development, by the way? If you had to say.
Development is starting from scratch. Developing is for teaching?
Training, well.
Developing is more catering to your specific company, I guess. Like they already have the skills and they've already been trained somewhere else.
I could see they already have the skills. Development would be focused more on change of what? Maybe their interaction with other people, their interest on getting a job done correctly, maybe changing them in terms of customer relations, those kinds of things. So here we generally think about this being sort of a mental thing and this being sort of a physical thing. That's really loosely interpreted. But in general, I'm going to use the word training regardless. But we're looking for change. Why do we need change? Well, we've already said one, because it's a new employee and they're not up to snuff, right? New EE. I'm going to ask questions, but I'm not going to give you any time to answer because we're moving right along toward our granddaughter. I mean, if you guys can stay here as long as you want. I mean, stay through the weekend if you're comfortable. Just with your pencils poised, ready to take notes. But I got
no lockup.
I got a granddaughter. No lockup. Turn the lights off. When else will you need training? New set of skills, perhaps a new piece of equipment. I actually asked you. That was, I promise that wasn't going to be there. New skills needed. Perhaps new machines or whatever.
And down here, I'll just say low productivity. That could be at the individual level, or it could be at the group level. Low productivity. So you're not up to the standard that we need in order to get where we want to get profit-wise. Right. Are they numbered?
Yeah.
Is there a date on there? Is there a class number of 330?
Yeah.
Okay. And we were 24 out of 32 or 3, so I think this looks like this will be good. All right. So what we have then is this need for change, right? And the change, by and large, is to get people up to where they need to be so that we can be productive, make money, etc. Training processes are almost amazingly enough all derived from education research. Isn't that interesting? That the research that's been done mostly on this initially had been in the educational area. How do we impart information to people, etc. But what's interesting to me on top of this is how training has changed over the years. It's worth remembering. Back in the 1700s, what did we have for training?
Master
or apprentice, right? I'll just put here apprentices. What about the 1800s?
Workshops. Industrial, what else?
Yes, it was industrial, and who ended up taking over the training? Well, other employees on the job, too, but quite often unions, interestingly enough, because the unions were there, and they wanted to prove to the companies that they were valuable, so they did a lot of training themselves, and this extends on into today. Unions take a lot of responsibility for training. But, right, you're right. Here we're in the Industrial Revolution. We've got all this new equipment coming in. We're no longer dealing with this one-to-one master-apprentice. It's now people running the machines. And while unions trained, the jobs quite often were machine-based. So it was fairly simplistic training. It wasn't like here where you're learning how to stitch shoes up. Here it's more like, you know, running machines to do something simpler but more dangerous. Okay, then we move forward into maybe the 1960s. And what's happening in terms of what the country does for business? Here, this is all manufacturing, right? And as we move into the 60s, what do we begin to see? More service industry focus. And this is a huge mind shift for people, right? We no longer are thinking about making stuff anywhere near as much as we are providing services, customer relations that go with that, right? Finding out what the customer is needing and carrying that out. And as I was talking to my class before about this, and I can see it now, since we have this adorable and ultimately kissable, huggable granddaughter, the focus for all of us as we grow up, you know, is ourselves, right? Our parents adore us, right? The grandparents are goo-goo over us and buy us everything we could possibly want except the new Corvette. They have to just take a Jeep instead. But et cetera. It's all about focusing on kids. And when they get a job, what's the focus going to be in this industry nowadays? Is it going to be on themselves, is my point. No, it's probably going to be on customers. So what we have here is some form, quite often, you guys are going to be involved in some sort of customer-oriented business, which is a huge shift from having your entire world focused on you, right? And that's a big, big deal. You don't know so much, but you will when the time comes. And I talk to employers who are, you know, constantly telling me about how kids don't understand about customers, you know, et cetera. And it's still about them. Well, you'll be dissuaded of the notion that it's about you after about 3 years of being canned from jobs. So be careful about this. The focus is no longer on you, right? The focus is on whatever makes money for the business, which is quite often going to be some form of customer relations. So this requires huge change. right? And training would be the wrong word here, probably development, because it's a mind shift. Plus the fact that there's all kinds of development changes needed for you as you come in, and you all know technology changes, blah, blah. I'm not even going to go into all that. So we have tons of change going on here in the workplace, and consequently that means that you going in are going to be needing updating all the time. Plus your initial focus on yourself as you were raised as a child, we were all raised as a child, to be the focus of attention, right? Here's this huge house with all these people running around taking care of us, and, you know, I was the focus of attention. Mr. Jerry, that's what I was called. All right, so what we have then is this change necessary. Sorry, Master Jerry. Master John, that's my brother, and Ms. Dahl, my mom. Okay, so with all these changes going on here, training is becoming more and more important, hyper important, in fact. Because this is stuff that requires almost 180 degree turn of your orientation. Away from you onto whatever's making the company money, which is quite often going to be some sort of customer service. But let's go back to this educational literature and just take a quick look at this. How to learn, so to speak.
What?
Oh, I see. You're laughing at my writing.
No.
Oh, man. That's really cold. Okay. Here we go. What do we do when we want to get people going on learning?
Motivate.
Thank you. Indeed. First, we have to motivate. And we motivate them to change. We explain why change is important, what they're going to get out of this, et cetera, et cetera. Because if they close their minds down right away, it's not going to be very successful. So from that point of view, we also have a plus, which is to say positive, setting.
What's that triangle mean?
Change. So if you say the training sessions are going to take place on Saturday morning without pay in the basement of the YMCA, be sure to bring your own bag lunch, and you'll be out by 5, and we're starting at 8. What's going to be the response?
Extremely negative.
No. Hell no. Right. So people are going to be upset, and they're going to go into this with a negative mindset, let's just say. On the other hand, if I say the training is going to take place in Hawaii, and you'll be there for 2 weeks, the training takes place between 10 in the morning and lunch, which is at 12. And the rest of the time you're on your own, make use of the pool, the beaches, the surfing lessons, and all that good stuff. And how's that going to be received?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah! I'm there. What kind of beer do they make in Hawaii?
They have a couple craft breweries there. I can't think of them.
Kona.
Yeah.
Kona.
Yeah.
Just
my friend.
That's water. So what else?
What
they like? They like Kona.
Well, he works for them. He used to work. For
well, God, yeah. We all work for these places. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's good.
He gets to go to Hawaii.
Like
yeah, there you go.
I like them taking out.
Probably gets free beer too.
Yeah.
Hawaii free beer adds up, you know,
yeah.
Little bit by little bit. Hawaii free beer, you're there. Two steps and you're there. Stop wasting time, Dr. Fox, damn it. We're trying to get home. All right, so we're going to motivate using the setting. Don't forget that. We're going to show/explain what we're trying to achieve, both there are actual physical actions or mental actions, whatever it might happen to be, and also some quantified amount of change that we need. You're currently doing this. We need you to double that or whatever. So we should put this in terms of quantifying numbers, right? In my opinion, having numbers for people to shoot at is a good thing. Difficult but achievable goals, right? You remember from OB? Cool. All right, so we have this idea of show and explain using numbers to encourage people to go ahead and do it.
Three.
I'm going to write here just do it, right? So the trainee does whatever they're being trained for.
Okay.
Do whatever needs to be done to learn how to do it. We, of course, as the trainer, are observing. So point number four there, if I was to lumber all the way across there, I'd put number four, observation. Underneath that, the next point would be feedback. Feedback. In the form of, let me see how I can say this in an acceptable business school fashion, in the form of the mud sandwich. Good, bad, good. Right, bread, mud, bread. Right, good stuff. Oh, you're a fast learner. You're really picking this up. The mud. You've got to do better than this. We need better quality. You got to get your numbers up. Bread. But you're smart and you're doing great and it's really going to help you out in the future. Got it? So, and this is actually a good way to provide feedback all the time. So we have this idea of observation here. OBS, right? Observation, I, feedback. This is the iterative, repetitive loop, right? Iterative loop. Observe, feedback, back to doing it, improving, feedback, in an iterative loop until the numbers or whatever are achieved, the goal. Whatever the goal is achieved. The goal being achieved, then the person has completed the, this is known as formal, which is sometimes also called classroom training. So they have finished off their formal training because they've achieved what was necessary for this training session. Okay? All right, now the next three or four questions can be answered by saying, it depends. Got it? The person is up to numbers. Does that mean that they're going to be able to perform accurately on the job to the same numbers itself? It depends on whether or not the group pressure allows them to perform at that height, you know, peer pressure kind of thing. It depends on whether they actually are able to transfer, because we're looking at what's known as transference here, transference back to the job. They may have been perfectly able to do it over there, but not necessarily back on the job. Is the company going to cost-benefit come out ahead on this? Yes, it does depend. It depends on how long the employee happens to stay. Now that they're well-trained, they have more job mobility. And if they don't like working there, they're going to give you the boot, right? And you are going to be down one employee that you've just spent money on. Also, of course, there's a possibility that they'll take the skill back to the job, but it'll still taper off. Cost-benefit, not so good. Taper off for overtime. It just depends. And there's one other thing that I want to talk to you about. Do you want to talk about it today?
No.
Do you want to talk about it today?
No.
I don't want to talk about it either. Depends on whether I want to talk about it, right?
You still have one more question.
Yeah, I still have one more question, and it depends on whether I want to talk about it. All right, how was that? Half an hour.
Not even.
bring that stuff.
Okay, you two be careful. Everybody promise to be careful. Drive carefully. Don't do dumb things.
Take care.
Yeah, have a good break. I don't ever believe you.